7 o'clock hour of Will Dan Taus. Taus. My best friend growing up, Steve Taus. Taus, give me your position on low blocks. Because you had to execute them at times. Certainly, defensive players don't like them. The play in question in the game on Sunday, Matt LaFleur calls it a cross-sift block, where essentially Tucker Kraft comes across the formation. His responsibility is to take out the defensive end on the edge. Not necessarily having to cut him, but more often than not cutting him. And Tucker Kraft goes low. Some might say, like Kirby Joseph went on him, going to tackle him in the game a few weeks ago. And Pat Jones II suffers a knee injury. He may be able to play in Sunday night's NFC North / first seed championship game with the Lions. But the Vikings were pissed. And I'm curious, before we hear from Matt LaFleur, who talked at length about it, how you view low blocks in 2024 as compared to, say, during your 11-year career, when we know that it was part of the game that everyone hated, but no one said boo about it.
Oh, I didn't hate it. I loved it. It made my job a lot easier because you're asking on the backside of outside zones, I had to cut guys' legs constantly. Backside of power, I'd have to cut guys, get guys on the ground. Pass protection, get them on the ground so their hands aren't up, so you bat it down. Out in space, you got really athletic linebackers flying downhill. You know what stops them? Ripping their legs out. So did I think it was fun? I mean, I don't want to hurt anybody, but I also wanted to get my job done. Mm-hmm. And so for me as an offensive lineman, I loved it. It was a huge weapon in our arsenal. They've gotten rid of a lot of it. And I think if I'm a defensive lineman, I would have been screaming bloody murder the whole time because it was ridiculous.
Right.
And I find it rich. I find it rich now that they're calling these DBs for cutting offensive linemen on the legs. I find it really rich because for years it was – you know, whatever we wanted to do on our side of the ball. I mean, the Denver Broncos won 2 Super Bowls with that.
Right.
They were great at getting guys on the ground and cut.
So,
and now they're calling 180-pound defensive back for chopping down 320-pound linemen coming out.
So earlier in the game,
to reiterate,
like earlier in the game, there was the play where Harrison Smith goes low on Zach Tom as Zach Tom is about to block him and gets called for a low block as a defensive player, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense because you could call it something else because he's not really blocking. He is trying to take on a guy that outweighs him by 100 pounds. Now, when you look at what Tucker Kraft did and go back to your experience, when you would cut guys, Tucker Kraft goes with his right shoulder into Pat Jones II's knee, his right knee. I am curious what the technique was supposed to be because, as we'll hear from Matt LaFleur shortly, he said, look, if we're going to do this, if we're going to outlaw that block, we also have to outlaw low hits on tackles, and there has to be a strike zone, essentially, from the neck to above the knee. How hard was your job of doing those blocks to do it in a way that if that strike zone was in effect, you couldn't do it, right? It would be awfully difficult to hit that zone?
It really... front side knee. You can't block the backside knee. You can't do it. That's where you get guys hurt. And so when I played though, I think guys on a lot easier. Now you're I think have fought that years because.
Yeah,
all right. God dang it. He's been so good today.
Yeah.
Like, not that he's not good other days, but we're losing such insight, and it's ticking me off.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Nothing,
let's play.
Nothing we can do about it.
Let's play what Matt LaFleur had. Just have old boy disconnect and reconnect. See if a fresh reset helps. While we play this from Matt LaFleur, who was very vehement in his defense of Tucker Kraft and took a shot at Kirby Joseph, not by name, as he went through the process.
I mean, I don't know what, it's a totally legal play. It's just, you got to defeat the block, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. I mean, Cox got sawed off by Johnny Munt one time, and they got somebody else. They did it to us twice in the game. So, like, what are we talking about? Like, I get it. As a defensive player, they don't like it. I think Troy's already come out and said that he wants to eliminate low blocks around the league. Like, but that is, it's part of the game. And so if you don't want to get those types of blocks, you can't be so out of control. And we get it, too, with our defensive ends. You know, if we're flying off the ball, like, you're going to get cross-sift. And that's a way to try to slow down just the speed off the edge. And, it's a great equalizer. That's tough for an offense to have to deal with that. And so you got to have some sort of recourse to try to slow somebody down. Otherwise, you're going to put everybody at risk. Your quarterbacks, guys are just going to tee off. But we'll see how, you know, what happens in the future. But, you know, it's no different than what are we talking about? Like, low tackles. I mean, you see that around the league all the time. Then we should eliminate all low hits below the knee, period. You know, and when receivers catch a ball and they're going across the middle and a safety, who I won't name, goes and saws their legs out. I mean, it happens all. It's so, like, we should get rid of all that then, if that's the case.
There's no way you wouldn't be playing football if you got rid of all that stuff, though.
Well, I don't know. That's my argument, too. If we get rid of the cross-sift, then we should get rid of low hits, and there should be a strike zone on every player, above the knee, below the head, or below the neck. Because I do agree that, like, some of those are dangerous. It's not like our intent is not to go hurt somebody. You never want to see that. I don't want to see that from either team. The intent is to slow somebody down. And I do think it's part of our job as coaches is to teach our, whether it's an edge rusher or whoever, how to defeat a cut block. And conversely, you got to teach them how to throw a good cut, you know. But that's part of our responsibility, and then the players got to go out there and apply that. And if you're out of control, it's hard to protect yourself, period.
All right, Tausch, before we run into more technical problems, I'm on board with that. I never played the game, though.
No.
I want the strike zone. I don't want guys blowing out their knee. I don't want Kirby Joseph taking out Tyler Higbee, TJ Hawkinson, and almost Tucker Kraft with low hits. But he's outweighed by these guys. How's he supposed to get them on the ground? Help me understand what they should do.
At some point, we must just play flag football then. And I get it. I don't want guys. But there's a risk that comes with this game. And you've taken the headshots out. Smart. But now you're going to tell Kirby Joe he's got to tackle Gronk or Tucker Kraft. You can't go early. You can't hit up high. Now you're going to say you can't hit low. Everybody's going to be a quarterback. If that's the case, this game's gotten a lot less physical and, to me, a lot less interesting. Maybe that'll be the case. But no.
Well, that's a new one. It's radio silence now.
All right, we'll say goodbye to old T. He can start his New Year's revelry early. I will tell you about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. So as it'll turn out, it will be the first time he talked about them will turn out to be the last time.
You were
time.
Right the whole time. Wow.
So I am not going to disrespect the elves when I tell you about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. I'll do that coming up next. Jesse and I will discuss the power rankings and where the NFL ESPN NFL Nation crew has the Packers after their defeat. We wish you a happy new year, Tausch. Enjoy your evening. Let's see if you can make it till midnight, because I really wanted to hear what an overrated holiday New Year's Eve is.
He can do his own show. And
I'm here. I'm back.
Hi.
Jeez.
I'm back, baby. Ensure your home remains comfortable with bad Wi-Fi, good Wi-Fi, but make sure your windows keep your warm air in the house. And yet, Santa Claus is magical. His elves, they're not. We've been well aware that's not the case. Too many options, too many customizations. You need Pella's experts to do it. So instead of going through the big red fella, take advantage of this deal from Pella. Get as low as $19 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends New Year's Eve, which is today. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Did I get through it or did it get...
No, you did it.
So I think we should have been on... I think we should have done... Well, who knows what's what. Bottom line is, Jason, I've been saying a lot of really interesting things, unfortunately.
And no one's heard it. Sucks.
Football, if you're going to go that route, I'm very nervous about how football is going to continue on. You have to allow for some of this. The offensive line and how you can cut guys and things like that, that's a different beast. I get that. But you're already limiting where guys can tackle. Playing defense is a nightmare as it is. Uh-huh. And if you take that out of it, I don't know where you, and then you're going to say, well, you can't throw the football over the middle of the field. I mean, that's the next step.
Right.
I don't know where we go from there. I don't want to be in charge of those rules because I think the game is already skewing too much, too perimeter-oriented. But I get where Matt LaFleur is coming from. I don't like it, but I get it.
All right. So I don't know what we're going to do with Old T because the show is obviously better by a multiple of 100 when he's with us, except when we have Bulaga, then it's just as good. But
yeah, well, Happy New Year.
Well, he is scheduled to appear later in the week. I think it's probably worthwhile to compliment the guy.
In for Old T on Friday. Yeah.
So I would love for you to stay. I don't know if technologically that'll work out or not.
Today. Happy New Year, boys. I think we're going to call it.
Come on.
It makes the most
sense. See you later. Okay.
Happy New Year, fellas. Thanks, everybody.
Enjoy your Coors Light.
Deuces, T. All right. So he's gone. Let's play our second round of trivia then.
All right.
Because he doesn't do anything during that segment.
That's true.
Anyway.
We won't even know he's not here, except unless there's something interesting he wants to ask someone about.
So, all right. What we did the first round. What was done was the April through June window and the October through December window. So our next two contestants, one will get January through March, one will get July through September. Let's do the same calls again. 8 and 10, caller 8 in honor of Josh Jacobs' great year, caller 10 in honor of Jordan Love's season. Although I know Tausch wanted to talk about this. He'll have to wait till Thursday, but he sent a tweet saying that from someone, I don't know who, that Jordan Love has not been consistently good enough this season, and that sounds like a good topic to me. We'll have to save it for Thursday when he hopefully has better connectivity. Caller 8 and caller 10 for trivia, though. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 8 and caller 10 play. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
much for first-time contestants across the board. Instead, we get some experience for round two of year-end Jesse Nelson trivia. Let's welcome in our contestants first. Caller 8 is Matt in West Bend. Matt, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Doing great. Happy New Year.
Same to you, my friend. And caller 10 is Sean in Sun Prairie. Sean, good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning. Good morning. Happy New Year as well.
Thank you very much. The same to you guys. All right. Sean, you get... Matt, you get to pick. Sean, you get stuck with whatever's left. Matt, do you want July through September or January through March as your batch of questions?
We better go more recent.
I believe that has been the strategy of everyone who has picked. All right, so that means, Sean, you get the January through March questions. Question number one in the July through September category, Matt, is this. A kid from Waupun became the star of Packers Family Night when he did what? Was it caught a punt, caught a touchdown pass, or caught an early case of senioritis?
Caught a punt.
He did. Actually caught like three of them and held on to the other balls. Well done. Question number one for you, Sean, back in January, February, and March, is this. Which of these statements is true of the Packers' playoff win in the wild card round over the Cowboys? Is it, it was the first time a number 7 seed won a playoff game? Is it, it was Green Bay's first playoff win in Dallas in team history? Or it was Mike McCarthy's best game plan ever for a Packers victory?
Very, very, very frustrating.
That's not very nice.
That's A.
It is indeed. All right, one for both of you. Question.
It was a good game plan for a Packers victory, though.
You're not very nice at all. Question two, Matt, is this. Which team ranked in the preseason AP top 10 lost the first game of week 0 of the 2024 college football season in Ireland? I gotta be honest, I don't even remember them playing in Ireland, much less who played in that game and who lost. Nevertheless, your choices are these: Florida, Florida State, or Clemson.
Oh, boy. I was going to say Notre Dame. let's go Clemson.
It's a guess. It's not the right one. Apparently Florida State. I have a vague recollection of that now.
Lost to Georgia Tech. First of many losses.
Oh, yeah.
For the unforgettable game from Dublin or wherever they were. All right. Question two. Sean, is this. Which artist headlined the Super Bowl 58 halftime show? Was it Rihanna, Usher, or Kendrick Lamar?
Ooh. I'm going to say Usher.
I believe Rihanna was the previous year. And I believe Kendrick Lamar is this year. So well done.
That's correct.
Tricky, tricky, Jesse Nelson. All right.
I realized when I wrote that question, I don't remember anything from the Usher halftime show.
No, I remember Rihanna.
Rihanna's was great.
She was pregnant.
I remember several of the other ones that have happened. I remember nothing from the Usher halftime show.
I remember the Weeknd.
Same.
Well, you got the question right anyway. All right. Question three for you, Matt, is this. Which Major League Baseball team was 8 games under 500 with a 0.2% chance to make the playoffs before going on a late season run to reach the postseason and win a series? And it was not the 2002 Oakland Athletics led by Brad Pitt. Was it the Detroit Tigers, the Kansas City Royals, or the Minnesota Twins?
We'll go with Twins.
I believe the Twins were the opposite. They collapsed, allowing the Detroit Tigers to make the playoffs. All right. Question three, Sean, for you is this. Which team defeated Caitlin Clark's Iowa Hawkeyes in the NCAA Women's Basketball National Championship game? Was it UConn, South Carolina, or LSU?
South Carolina.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right. So, Sean, you got two out of three, so you got three of the possible four entries into the drawing. Thanks for playing, buddy. We appreciate you. Happy New Year. And Matt, you sadly got only one right, so you have two entries into the drawing. Recency did not help you, but nevertheless, those were some tough questions. I would have gotten two out of three wrong also, and I watched that national championship game. So good luck in the drawing, and Happy New Year, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you. Right back in
here, guys.
All right, that Jesse, now that it's over, how do you assess your year-end trivia foray?
I enjoyed it.
Especially because people got a lot of wrong question answers.
It was a good look. Again, I'm a sucker for end of the year, year in review type
things.
You're
a sucker.
And so it's a good way to look back on the year. We did it in a competitive format, and we moved it along fairly quickly thanks to old T missing this portion of it. So we didn't get to talk about mushrooms as much as we had in the previous edition of it.
Managed to get rid of Mushroom Megatron, and now we're on the clock somewhat more so. All right. Whoa, Nelly, which hopefully will at least include a reference to the power rankings, because I have not read them today, and I'm very curious to see what the Packers' position is in the estimation of the 32 Rob Domofskys of the ESPN NFL Nation. We'll find that out and play Whoa, Nelly next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls and feel like it's a beautiful day.
To let it get away on the road. But you got no destination in the mind. In the maze of her imagination, your love there was done. A Tausch-free finish to today's show begins with Whoa, Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back five of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
So we're gonna get to power rankings in a second. Before we do, I have a story that I wanted to share with you real quick, Jason, that Tausch, I think, would have appreciated had he been here to hear it today. My wife Beck and I went out to dinner last night, and it was at an establishment that I won't share free advertising for, but... It had one area where there's a bar that you can go sit at. It was very crowded. So there was a bar area where you could go sit and kind of wait for a table to be available. We put our name in for a table, and then eventually we went and go sat at the table. When we went to sit at the bar, we sat down, and the bartender came over and said, are you guys doing drinks or dinner here also? And we kind of looked at each other. We hemmed and hawed for a second because we hadn't talked about whether we wanted to just eat at the bar or not. We were like, I don't know. And she's like, all right, I'll come back. And then we ended up just ordering drinks. We got one drink, and then we ended up like saying, okay, we're ready to close out.
What'd you get?
I don't remember. Margarita of some kind. It was like a fruity margarita. It actually tasted delicious.
It's very on brand.
So we sat
yes.
there about 20 minutes. We had our one drink, and then the table was getting ready, so we were getting ready to close up. So we asked if we could get the check, and bartender says yes. And she says, do you want that together or separate? And then I said, together right away. And then she looked at Becca and said, do you want yours separate or not? And I was like, whoa, what is that for? And then I realized...
No way you're with this guy.
And then I realized she thought we were on a bad first date. Because we sat down, we weren't sure if we were going to stay for dinner. We were closing up after one drink. I had my hand like under the counter where we were sitting, so she couldn't see that we were married. And she thought we were on a bad first date that we were wrapping up. And she thought I was trying to mooch and get Becca to buy me a drink and then leave. So
Becca feel like you were on a bad first date is the real question.
At times, I'm sure she did. But I realized I was offended at first, and then it happened again later when we cashed out at the actual table. The waitress asked if we wanted separate or together, and it was kind of like she didn't make the same implication that the bartender did. But I realized I actually commend the bartender for the way she handled that, interpreting that we were on a bad first date. She didn't care what I had to say. She just went to Becca and said, what do you want, this or that? And I think it was actually a respectable move. So at first I was offended, and now I want to say props to the bartender last night for, I think, handling that the way that she probably should have, and I'm sure it wasn't her first rodeo.
I'm sure she has seen her share of bad first dates in her career. I would be more troubled by the fact that your level of engagement with your lovely wife led to a stranger to interpret the scenario as a bad first date. You know, you're kind of feeling it right now, too, right? You're skinny Jesse now. And I wonder if you just put off a vibe of, this guy's a bad first date guy.
I was definitely
that led to this.
I was looking at the phone a lot. We were both texting a little bit as we were sitting there. I was looking at the Lions and 49ers game had just started.
Is this causing you to re-examine how you engage with your lovely wife when you're out in a public setting?
No, I don't think so at all. I think, if anything, it actually shows you that we're at now a stage of comfort where we don't have to...
Where we don't even talk!
And you don't have to do the whole thing the entire time. Like, if we want to turn it off for a second, just check our phone and look at how the Jameson Williams-led Detroit Lions offense is helping propel me to a fantasy football championship, that's great. Like, we can just do that. It's okay.
All right, if you are in the YouTube portion of the program right now, I want your comments on Jesse not viewing this as a potential growth opportunity to say, this bartender thought that Becca was on a bad first date with some schmo. Maybe I need to alter how I behave when we go out together to let everyone know that we're a happily married couple that we are. So chime in the YouTube comments and we'll read a few before we go if you've got anything.
Or not.
Whoa, Nelly!
Oh no, we will. I'm still in charge of this ship.
How about the power rankings?
Yeah, let's get to those.
ESPN's NFL. Now, I don't know what to do without Tausch here. What do you want to bring them or fling them? I don't know what we're.
I gotta be honest, I just want to know where the Packers are at.
All right, so in at number one this week, new number one. Oh, no, same number one as last week. I apologize.
Nailed it.
The Kansas City Chiefs. Apparently, they leapfrogged the Lions last week. I forgot about that. Number two, the Detroit Lions, after their nice win on Monday Night Football, helping propel Jesse to a fantasy championship. Wildy and Tausch team, tough loss, second place in our league. Second place. Tim and Madison gets the big win. So nice for Tim. Or maybe, I forget where Tim's from. Nice win, Tim.
What does Tim get for winning our league?
Nice win, Tim. I don't
so he doesn't win anything? I, like he doesn't win like a prize pack or
I don't remember, and I don't want to say he wins something he doesn't win, so I'll check what Tim won, and we will report back later this week. How about that?
Thank you for your
nice
service.
Nice win. I don't want to tell him he won nothing if he did win something, but I don't want to promise he won something if he didn't win, so I'm just going to say I don't know what he won. Pride for sure.
Sure.
Number three, the Buffalo Bills. who everyone's picking to beat the Chiefs and win the AFC, and it's their year. And I'm warning you now, people, Nuthawak, don't fall for it like everyone did last year. Or fall for it, and then I'll pick the Chiefs in a playoff pool and win it. Like, that's what I did last year, too. It's becoming a lot about me. Number four, the Minnesota Vikings.
Apparently, so are your first dates with your wife.
Which is surprising that the Vikings are four. I thought they would move up after the...
So, wait a minute. So where do you, who do you want them to move up in front of?
Over the Bills. I'd put the Vikings over the Bills after beating the Packers the way they did.
Bills have that win over the Chiefs. They've got a... Who's the best win that the Vikings have? We've been all over the Packers for this, right? And their wins over the Packers probably don't count.
Oh, I'd say the win at Lambeau, going up 28-0 at halftime.
That was impressive.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. They beat the 49ers earlier this season. The 49ers were injured for that game. They've been injured all year. But, who's their best win? As you scroll through the Vikings' schedule, their wins, in order, are over the Giants, the 49ers, the Texans, the Packers, the Jets. Then they lost back-to-back games to the Lions and the Rams. And then their wins are over the Colts, the Jaguars, the Titans, the Bears, the Cardinals, the Falcons, the Bears, the Seahawks, and the Packers.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same schedule we've played, mostly.
Well, not we, Wildin Tausch, well, the Packers.
Sure, yes, indeed. The Green Bay Packers, yes.
Well, no, where are the Packers, damn it?
Number five, Philadelphia Eagles. Number six, Baltimore Ravens.
Uh-oh.
Number seven, the Green Bay Packers.
So even though the Washington Commanders are ahead of them in the playoff pecking order, the Packers win out over the Commanders in this power rank.
They do. Packers actually were seven last week, and even though they lose at Minnesota, they do remain seven. The Chargers are up three spots, big movers to number eight. The Commanders are number nine, with Pittsburgh rounding out your top ten.
I don't know, man. That 0-5 against the three teams with better records than them, I thought they would drop farther, frankly. So, good for them. And it doesn't really matter, because unless something changes this weekend and the Packers win and the Commanders lose, Packers will be the seventh seed and they've got a difficult road. I want to remind everyone, because I've seen a few of these references on social media, the NFL reseeds after every round. So the Packers, if they are the seventh seed and somehow they win in Philadelphia, they don't then lead into the bracket of the next game.
They don't get Washington or the Rams, right?
Right. They would get the number one seed coming off the bye. So whether that turns out to be the Vikings or the Lions, if the Packers are the seven, then they get the number one seed. There ain't no other way about it. If they somehow win, they will be the lowest remaining seed, and that would mean facing the top seed, whoever that ends up being. So they got to beat number two and number one. That's why Dan Quinn yesterday, in part, was screaming from the mountaintop, "We're playing our guys, we're playing to win. We do not want to drop to the seventh seed. The sixth seed matters. We're going to, quote, fight like hell for it." So, again, a challenge awaits for the Green Bay Packers and Matt LaFleur.
By the way, Rob Domofsky's biggest offseason contract situation to watch?
Ooh.
Jaire Alexander. Makes sense.
It's a good question. It's a good question. His answer, I think he knows what Jaire Alexander's contract situation is going to be, though. I think extending Zach Tom after this season would be the one that I'm curious if that occurs or he goes into his fourth season under his existing contract. All right, that is it for Woe Nelly. We will close up shop coming up. Want to remind you, though, and look, I give Tausch a lot of grief. He certainly gives me a lot of grief, but what he and Sarah have been doing with AmFam and the AmFam Children's Hospital is just such a great thing, and I love the fact that they both do this. I know Tausch doesn't necessarily want pats on the back for doing it, so I'm glad to say it publicly. I love what he's doing. It's the season of giving, Badgers fans, and this year you can double your impact for thousands of children receiving top-notch care at the American Family Children's Hospital. It says my wife, Sarah, but it's Tausch's wife, Sarah, in the copy I'm reading. And Tausch are teaming up with American Family Insurance to raise funds for the AmFam Children's Hospital's virtual toy drive. Proceeds go towards therapeutic play supplies for pediatric patients, and American Family Insurance will match donations up to $50,000. So visit AmFam4kids.org to donate today. Again, that is AmFam4kids.org, and make sure you donate today. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Nelson.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Which is good news for Jesse, because things are not going well for him in the YouTube comments.
Imagine my surprise.
I don't think it's just because you've called them dwellers. I think they make some fair points. Like Jenny, who I don't know if she's ever commented in the YouTube comments before, but this has brought her to comment.
Jenny.
This is way too early in their marriage to be on his phone at the bar with his wife.
Not when you're playing in the fantasy championship, it's not, Jenny.
I blame the bartender for looking out for her. You're not at home, Jesse. Pay attention to your wife. Jeff and Monroe.
Oh,
who, again,
Jeff, no.
He's our guy.
No.
Just because Jesse is an inattentive date doesn't mean he can't be a gentleman and pay for his date's drink.
Yeah. Oh. Don't worry, Jeff. I got dinner.
Denver Dan, here's a bad first date. I paid all the attention to my now wife, told her to order whatever she wanted, then realized I didn't have my wallet and she had to pay. And they still ended up getting married.
Yeah, that's great.
And then John, who is a frequent dweller commenter.
I believe he's in our fantasy league, too.
Here's the thing. Leave it to Jesse to go Dutch on a date with his wife. Also, by the way, I think it was a $150 gift card for Dave and Buster's.
Well, see,
so apparently our fans know better than you.
I couldn't remember. Thanks, John. Maybe that's right. I don't want to promise it. We're going to check the official rules and see what Tim wants.
Which you write. All right.
Would
that's
I
it for
have
us.
Won the gift card if there was one and I won the league? Like, I kind of.
It would have helped us pay for Wildy and Tausch Fest if we ever have it. So, all right. Yeah. That's it for us today. We are off tomorrow for New Year's Day. We are back on Thursday. Megatron Tausch will join us again, digitized. Hopefully, he'll have better audio connections. And then Friday, possibly a Brian Bulaga cousin sub of the day.
Oh, it's happening.
It's confirmed?
It's happening. Bulaga's nice. In. Fresh off right. Of Iowa's loss in the Music City Bowl yesterday.
Always good to have our favorite right tackle join us as a sub for our four other favorite right tackle. That's it for us today. Happy New Year. Good luck with those New Year's resolutions that you start tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.